to the heart of the urban world with love.
Let's get up this kind of team and that kind of team. Let's go out and do this and go out and do that. It's going to be like, no, just live life. Just live life, and let's everybody on our jobs and in our family, let's just live this life and do what he's told us to do. Do this right here. Boy, let's just do Matthew 5. What? I wonder what would happen to Harrisburg if just a church said, our goal is Matthew 5. No teams. No organized groups going out on the street. And even though I want to do all that kind of stuff, I want to do the evangelic outreach and all that kind of stuff. But what if a church just said, somebody came and asked, so what does your church do to reach out to the community? Matthew 5:41. And they go over and read it. Love your enemies. No, I mean, what do you mean as an organized group of people? What programs do you have in outreach for benevolence and reaching the poor and love your enemies. Pray for those that spitefully use us and persecute us. No, I mean, what is the programs and things that you are funding? And we're doing this because what we are discovering is that Harrisburg has been programmed out, just organized out, all those kinds of things. And people can see programs and organizations coming 10 miles away. Even so much, remember when we were in meeting in Zion Assembly and we had the kids coming every week, and Carlette just went across the street and gave a family some cupcakes, and they just immediately, they just like, oh, you're trying to make us come to your church. No, closed all doors and wouldn't let the kids come anymore. And that's because they couldn't fathom a church just bringing over something and we didn't want anything in return. They didn't get it, that was just a thank you. We weren't,
for letting the kids come.
We were just saying thank you for letting them come. We weren't trying to make nobody come join us. We weren't trying to do anything. It was just a thank you. But because people have been so programmed and organized and manipulated and coerced and all of that, that here comes a ministry that just simply says, thank you. And they're like, nope. No, no, no. And the kids haven't been back since. So I'm saying that's God's given us a whole different way, a whole different approach. And actually, it ain't nothing new. It's what the early church did. It's how the church actually started. Before there were buildings, before stained glass windows, before, you know, getting up and reciting phrases and the Apostles' Creed and all those things are important. But before all of that, when the church would just meet in a house, breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, sit around and talk like we do and end up praying for somebody, or in the conversation, they find out somebody had a need and they would just spontaneously just, I got amount of furniture. I got extra this. That's what was the early church. That's what it meant when they said they sold possessions. And it ain't like they had a fundraiser. It's hard for us to kind of separate it in today's world. But back in those days, they didn't organize a fundraiser. If somebody had a need, then another person would just simply say, I got that. I can take care of that. I can do it. Or a group of people could get together and do it.
Yes, ma'am.
We're on it. There have been churches that we have visited. I won't call any names. And Carol and I talked about this because yesterday, or no, it was a Friday. It don't matter when. But we talked about how we went to be a part of some churches that had outreach in the community. And we were invited to come and be a part of their outreach. But the members of the church were so cold towards us.
Unfriendly.
And we were the invited guests. And when it came to the community, they were just annoyed with the people from the community.
They were bothered.
And so that's why I know that God is on to something here. In other words, we, even when churches have had community outreaches, the members, the congregation,
they really
they really didn't want to. Yeah. And it's because of what we're talking about now. I'm not faulting them. I'm just saying we identify with how they felt because they were going through what we're going through right now. And so when now you've been going through all this stuff, dealing with people in the neighborhood and on your job, and now I'm supposed to go out and do outreach. And so everybody that you're doing outreach with, the personalities of the people that are coming by, they act and look just like the same people on your job. And they're bad. The kids are just as bad in this neighborhood as they are in your neighborhood. So when they come walking in your church building, you know what you see? You see the same bad little kids that are terrorizing my neighborhood now walking in the church. And the same attitudes that are on my job now walking in this building. So that's why we're not faulting the people, but we understand why they're not very friendly when people come in from the neighborhood in the outreach service. This is outreach. We're supposed to love them, but actually, oh my God, here we go again. That's why individually, God is working on us individually so that as fruitful life gets put into the position of some of the churches that we have visited since we've been here, that we won't make the same mistake. And I see why God is also actually allowing us to build relationship with one another. We have to, because we are going to, as more and more people come, different personalities will come. We won't always see the eye to eye. We're not going to always understand one another. We're going to rub each other the wrong way. So God's going to give us opportunities just sitting right here with one another to
sharpen iron.
Get past the differences, to get over the word they use is idiosyncrasies, because we do things differently from one another, but we like got to get over it with each other. There are still things that I'll say it because Carol knows it. There are still things that irritates me that Carol does and things that I irritate her about every day almost. And all right, come on, be nice. Be nice to me. But there are certain things as a husband and wife, it ain't
every
even.
Day.
Not every day. Okay. I don't irritate you every day. Okay. She said, not every day. You catch that? Is it still on? Not every day. But what we have to learn to do is you get over yourself. That really is it. We have to get over ourselves, and because this is my wife. And the same thing goes with in the house of God. This is my brother. This is my sister. God called us together. We're here. So since we're here, okay, then I got to get over myself and what I don't like about you or what I don't like about myself. You know, sometimes there are going to be people that are going to come and they're going to withdraw because of what they don't like about themselves, not what they don't like about Fruitful Life and everybody else. There are things they don't like about themselves, so they withdraw. And so it's going to behoove us to reach out, to go past how we feel, to reach out, to touch them, speak to them. Say that's part of our life history and ministry history. That the kind of people, because now you're going to start questioning yourselves. Now you're going to be like, are we the kind of people that nobody that likes to be around and hard to approach? But our history has been, we are always, God always tends to send the kind of people to us who they're not just automatically outgoing personalities. They don't just automatically just reach out and start talking to people and all that kind of stuff. And I guess that would qualify for y'all, huh? You're not outgoing, but you don't go out of your way to speak to people and approach people. You're not like Quincy. That's a good way. Quincy, a class clown, nobody's a stranger, all that kind of stuff. Another one would be somebody like Darnell. Mm-hmm. You're not like Darnell. Just walk in the room and make friends with everybody in the room. We're not that kind of people. Me and Carol weren't those kind of people. We told you our story. We had to be introduced to each other twice in order to get to talk to each other. And so, but we have always had a history of the kind of people that come into our lives tend to not be the kind of people that church, regular, everyday, religious church people really like being around. And you tend to be that kind of people that don't like to be around religious people yourself. And so that's been our history. Now, having said that, now here's the next thing I have to say to us. That means that as we continue to draw those kinds of people, that some of those people that continue to come to Fruitful Life will be like you were when you first came, just kind of checking us out. Because their life's experience with church hasn't been very good. It really hasn't. So the Lord is giving us opportunity, first of all, to reach out to folks on our jobs, in the neighborhood, in wherever we are, that annoy us, that irritate us, that get on our nerves, that persecute us, that don't do right. You know why? So that when some of those same people, you know I'm about to say it, when those some of those same people walk into Fruitful Life, wherever we are, in a hotel or in a facility, they will already have had a positive experience with you and with Fruitful Life. Because Fruitful Life is not an organization and it's not a building. Fruitful Life is a lifestyle. That's why the Lord has had us to keep referring to it. It's a lifestyle. They will have already encountered the Fruitful lifestyle because it was coming through you. I'm still convinced that different people that I've had encounters with in this city, that I'm going to cross paths with them again. And the only thing they're going to remember when they see me sitting down preaching or standing up talking, or if they hear my voice on the radio, things like that, when recognition and visibility comes to Fruitful Life, the only thing that they're going to remember, I don't care how good and great it may be looking in the future, the only thing they're going to remember is that guy that I saw in the bank, that guy that I saw walking down the street. They're going to remember that guy that they saw at the workplace every day. That's what they're going to remember. Sometimes when I'm walking down the street and there have been incidents when young ladies were not dressed appropriately, and I see all the guys going, and so I have to intentionally, deliberately, do not look, don't even do a second glance. First time you're like appalled, like, oh my God. But don't do the second one, because I'm convinced that there's somebody, even though I don't see them, somebody's watching me to see if I look again. I know it. I know it as assuredly as I'm sitting here. And they are going to one day walk into the building, wherever we are, or facility, or what may walk up here in my own house, if we're in a home meeting, and they're going to go, I remember I saw you. That's it. Not to mention, it might be one of the young ladies. I'm convinced of that.